Verdon Bears fans, you already know it's going to be a good show. We start off laughing. Pat the designer, the lovely Deion Miller is in the building.
Thank you, Pat. You said my name right. I know that this has been a point of contention, but you said Deion correctly.
How else would you say it?
People say Deion, but it's not. It's Deion. You said it right. You didn't even know. You just did it.
Is that how? I don't even know like if there'd be another way to say it.
Thank you. Neon Deion, you know, Deion Sanders is Deion, but that's the male version.
Okay, so I guess I can see that. Oh, I see Deion. Okay, all right, I can see that. Very interesting. I never thought about that. I just said it the same way. So I've been saying Deion Sanders' name wrong the entire time.
Yeah.
that's really what this is. Now I'm going to meet him, and he's going to be like, you suck, dog.
What's going on? Sorry, I didn't mean to call you out on that. But I'm just saying, I was pleased that you said my name.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. We haven't had you on the pod yet. And I mean, you're up there just as much as us. You get all the access. You get to see everything. And so it's exciting to have you here talking Bears and being able to break down what we saw from rookie mandatory minicamp, which was very interestingly placed. I mean,
it was so bizarre. It was 45 minutes. It was a short practice. It was training camp hot yesterday. I mean, it was so warm out there. Yes. And there were only, I want to say, 17 or 18 players out there. Obviously, we were surprised that we got to hear from Caleb again, one week later. I thought that was very interesting, but I appreciated the fact that he was made available one last time before they break now for summer.
Now, that's very interesting. I think it's something to hit on as well, because when I saw, we had Gripping and Sipping yesterday, so the comments are about to be wild. I know about the name. Relax. Leave it alone, guys. We had Gripping and Sipping yesterday, and everybody,
I don't love it either.
It's when you walk in with a Gripping and Sipping shirt, people are like, what's this guy on?
What's happening right now?
But I thought it was very interesting. And to me, when I looked at my phone and it said Caleb Williams is speaking to the media, I was like, Caleb Williams? We're getting him. This would be the second time during minicamp, the third time during the spring program. We never would have gotten this with Justin.
Never.
Does this speak to the confidence that they have in their rookie quarterback coming in?
I think it does speak to a little bit of that. I also think it says a lot about who Caleb is and his willingness to do it. His body language when he's at the podium is so far different than any quarterback that they've had in the last couple of years. And I know it's been well documented how we as media members got so versed in reading body language based on what we went through with Jay Cutler and knowing exactly the way he walked to the podium was how he was going to interact with us every day. Correct. Right. But Justin was the same way. A lot of times he'd walk up there and he'd sit down and or he'd stand or whatever they did. And you could see on his face today, we're getting one word answers and you just knew. And I just feel like Caleb is so different than that. Everything about the way he's handled things on the field, the way he's handled it off of it. He's not afraid of criticism. He's not afraid of questions. He's not afraid of what the media might say or do. He's conducting himself so differently and has changed the vibe around this entire team.
Even with this, it is early. I do want to see what happens when Chicago media comes after him after a bad game. We know that's going to happen. And we didn't really get to see that from him in college, because when he'd have bad games, and I keep saying this to no fault of his own, Lincoln Riley's like, you don't got to talk.
Right.
Get away from him. Leave him alone. You can't see him in the locker room. And that's not going to happen here in the NFL. So I do want to see how he reacts after games. But early on, I'll say this, Deion, it doesn't feel like any quarterback that I've seen in my lifetime. And what I mean by that is he's not afraid to be like goofy and like, no, I'm going to be myself and I'm going to go out here. Like most quarterbacks in the NFL are like, you'll have moments, but like even Pat Mahomes goes up to the podium. He's like, yep, we're here. We're ready. We're focused on next week. We're excited. Here we go. There's not a lot of playfulness in most quarterbacks in the NFL. And I feel like Caleb has a lot of that, dare I say, little plunky QB style in him.
Well, there's room for that in June and in May, right? And you do wonder how things will change, if they change at all, when losing happens and things don't go like smoothly. Right now, everybody's winning. Everybody's just excited. But I agree with you that the way that he intentionally answers questions, every single one, and that started on draft night.
Yeah.
He did 150 interviews. I'm exaggerating, but so many.
It was a lot.
And it was genuine answers to each and every person that was asking him questions. And it was just authentic. I felt like he's just very authentic. And for him to be as young as he is and to know who he is that well says a lot about his upbringing, but it says a lot about the way he's going to even mature more in this role.
It's so cool to see like him be himself and not be not shy away from anything. I think that that's what won me over with him. When, like, I knew the skill, I knew the player, I knew like the locker room stuff. Everybody was like, he's a terrible team. I was like, nobody's saying that except like the people that don't want him here. So I don't know if I believe that. But when he talked and when he was like, listen, this is who I am, this is what you're gonna get. He's out there with Twitch streamers, he's out there having a good time. That kind of, like, I was like, this dude's a kid, but like knows when to work, and I love that about him. And we've seen the work, we've seen the talent and the success. I'll ask you this. We keep hearing about the cadence. We heard about it yet again today, right? The cadence is the thing that he needs to work on most. Does it feel like that is what the Bears are most worried about with him? Like, almost that the talent's going to be there. He's got the anticipatory throws. He's going to have to figure out the playbook. That takes time. But if he gets the cadence now, we're hitting the ground running.
Well, think about the fact that here we are in May, heading into this, or June, and heading into this break before training camp. And that's what we're worried about. Not about his ability to handle the playbook. Not, it's the cadence. And if it becomes complicated for him, guess what they'll do? They'll adjust. They'll work together and adjust. I think that's what I hear more than anything. I don't hear this grand concern that when he goes home, he better be barking out cadences at home and like figure it out. I don't think that they're that concerned about it. I think that they know that they're laying a foundation at this point, and he's navigating some things. It did look bumpy. There were times during just mandatory minicamp. I mean, the defense is, as Keenan said, so annoying, and they were, but in a great way. Like, it was so fun to watch them because they, speaking of being kids, I mean, they were having so much fun.
D-Walk is my favorite person.
Oh my gosh, I just love him. He is dancing all the time. That's one I love to watch him at practice for that reason. But I think that he's learning as he goes. Everything he's doing is for the first time. What I admire about Caleb is that when he walks off the field, he is immediately talking to a coach, a player, an offensive lineman, somebody. He's asking questions. He's wanting to figure out, now, why did that go that way? And Brett Rippon has been in his ear the whole time. And obviously Tyson Bagent is the longest tenured Bears quarterback at this point, but the experience is there with Brett, right? It's true. Pat, it's true.
That's tough.
It is tough.
Y'all couldn't even see EO's face off camera. He's like,
It's the truth.
That is true. Good Lord.
Tyson said, he's like, when we all came in the quarterback room, he's like, it was bizarre that I was the one telling them where everything is and what to do. I'm like, that is so weird, like how fast that happened. But I appreciate that about Caleb. And when he says, I want to learn, I want to absorb, like, he's really, you're really seeing him doing that. And I believe, based on what we know about them keeping the lights on at Topgolf, I believe he's competitive enough to get it right.
Yeah. That is one thing about him where it's, I love that that's kind of like the ancillary thing. Like, oh, this dude's like super competitive. Y'all just haven't seen that yet. But when you're at the practices and stuff like that, you can get that feel of it. Like, when you see Caleb and the defense win, he's pissed.
Yeah.
He comes off the sideline. He's not pissed to the point. And I think this plays into it as well, which is him being so young is so good. He's not pissed to the point that he's out of the game.
Right,
or he's out of practice, or they have to calm him down. They come over and they're like, yo, you're going to get it. It takes time. And he's just like, yeah, I understand that. But we see quarterbacks who have played 4 or 5 years in this league who still haven't been able to acquire that skill. Heck, Lamar Jackson in the playoffs last year wasn't able to do that with his young team that he had. And it cost them a playoff game, right? So, like, I think that, see, and I understand that this is very early on. It's not, right, you're not sitting here talking about what we're seeing 2-3 games in or 2-3 preseason games in, but the composure that he has, how he's understood the playbook to the point where we've seen him on the sideline teaching some of the receivers, the rookie receivers, where they need to be. Okay, well, the big takeaway I had one practice, Tyson did like this and then did one of these, and Tyler Scott was like, okay, that means I need to step in.
Yeah.
And what's his rookie receiver who's his college roommate? John Jackson looked around and like instantly looked at Caleb. I don't know what he said, but I assumed it was, what is that?
Yeah.
And Caleb was like, oh, when you do this, and he's teaching him the playbook. So like, he's getting an understanding. He's got that competitive fire. It does feel different when you get to see him up close. And this is coming from somebody who was a Justin Fields guy, who wanted Justin Fields to stick around and be here. So I can say, like, it doesn't feel like when Justin was here.
It just doesn't.
And that is, it sucks to say that, but it also tells you that you're in a good place with the quarterback right now.
The things that stood out to me a lot were when Caleb was frustrated with the defense, but you hear Kevin Byard saying, no, I told him, like, we're here to make you better. Like, yeah. We're all Bears. And I think that Caleb understands that and wants that too. And the other thing, yesterday he said he thinks the biggest thing he accomplished was the connection with everybody. Do you remember when he got here, the first thing he said is like, I'm going to learn everybody's name. Like, yeah. I got to learn everybody's name. I think that's genuine. I think he really did do that, yeah. Right? He went out of his way to make sure he knows who everybody is and that they're all on the same page. And he's leading that way already, which is just impressive.
So. It is. He's something else already. And I think the coaches feel that, the players feel that. Yeah. What has been your biggest takeaway from our OTA, our mini camp, our whatever rookie mini camp was?
Whatever it was. I don't know what it all is anymore. It's just off season work.
It's all flipped around too. Like it's backwards. Weird. But what's been your biggest takeaway as we head into training camp?
Well, I think that even though Caleb has said out loud, this is the first time I'm doing this. This is for now. It doesn't look like it's the first time, right? It does look like he was groomed to be a quarterback in the NFL. Like everything that comes with it, seeing him not just at a Cubs game, but then at the bar in Wrigleyville, seeing him the way that he's interacting with his teammates and laughing and joking, and he'll dance at practice. And he's just so comfortable with who he is. That's the biggest thing that stood out to me. And oh, by the way, like the other first round pick, Rome Odunze, if we didn't have Caleb, we'd be obsessed with Rome Odunze because yes. He's amazing and his yes. work ethic is outrageous. And he's himself too. I mean, yeah. Like it's just bizarre that the Bears have these two guys who have handled everything so beautifully through their first couple of months.
It feels like Caleb has given everybody the free, because I think we've seen more personality out of a lot of players.
Yes,
this season.
Yes, yes, yes.
It feels like Caleb has kind of given everybody, I'm not going to say the okay, but like if the quarterback can do it, we all can do it.
Yes.
Kinda, right.
Yes,
like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so I feel like we're getting more personality out of everybody. Rome, like you said, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to see a lot more Rome than maybe people believe mm-hmm. coming into training camp and heading into the season, because while I love Keenan Allen, I'm so happy he's here. I'm glad to have him on this team. Who's going to be the long-term guy? You know, that's going to be Rome Odunze. And he's really good. Like Caleb is good enough that Rome is under talked about.
Yes. Yes. But if we didn't have Caleb, it would be like, he would be king of the town.
Yeah.
And I think he still could be.
It's going to be very interesting to see kind of how they grow together.
Yes.
And what that turns into. I'm very excited to see all of that. What were your takeaways from what Coach Flus had to say about kind of where the team is?
I think that they're all on the same page with this process and feeling like, I mean, I do think that Flus, as much as Flus 2.0, as they love to call him, I think
Bearded
he
Flus.
Has, he look, I mean, he's looking more he's HBO ready, all of those things. And I think he says, it's not coach speak, but it sounds like it sometimes when he says it, when he talks about, well, like it's all about the process and I still saw good things today and da-da-da. Like, but I also think he means it. Like the progress he's looking for is not what we on the outside are looking
yeah.
for, right? He's looking for how Caleb recovers from a mistake or how it's still basic stuff right now. And I feel like he's excited about the direction of the team, but he's tempering his enthusiasm because it's June and we have time for those things. Same with Shane Waldron. Like, maybe the offense found a little bit of traction this early. We don't know anything yet. Like, it's too early to, we've got 5 weeks to talk about it, but it's too early to say they're going to hit the ground running. No one's saying that.
Yeah.
No. And by no means do you look at this roster and think, wow, there are no holes. Like, that's not true either. So there are still some question marks around this team as they head towards training camp. And then when they start to implement things a little bit more, but what Waldron said about what he wants Caleb Williams to do is to continue to own the scheme, like to own knowing what we're doing with the playbook. And I think Caleb will. That's the next step.
I would say team-wise, offensively, I don't expect them to hit the ground running, right?
No, I don't
either. It's, if he has some good games early on, phenomenal.
Like,
great. Prove all
Wonderful.
Of us wrong.
Yes.
Please, I'd be very happy if you CJ Stroud your way through the season.
Yeah.
But
please.
The one thing that I do think is the expectation in the building, based on literally every day we've all come away with this, is I do think that the defense should hit the ground running. I feel that Flus feels that way as well.
Yeah.
And that leads to, listen, the beard, the haircut, all of that's great. But I think the fact that he knows he's got the players out there that can run his scheme mm-hmm. is why you're seeing a much more confident Flus coming into this season. And I said this, listen, his value to me as a DC, I haven't seen him be a great head coach. Personally, to me, I think last season, 3 games you get cost because of decisions that Flus made and or didn't make by stepping in and being the head coach and saying, we shouldn't do this here.
Right.
Let's make this decision. But I know he's a great DC, and I feel that his confidence comes from how talented this defense is. Yes, you still don't have that guy opposite Montez Sweat yet, but maybe you have a guy that's good enough this season in DeMarcus Walker opposite Montez Sweat, because he's second year in this defense now. He's got more of an understanding. You have Sweat. You've got Bayard added into. So some of the holes that you had there, you've got experience at that position, or you upgraded talent at that position. I do expect the defense to hit the ground running.
Oh, I do too. And they do too. I mean, they expect them to kind of be the anchor of this team as they ease in offensively. It may be October before we see Caleb have one of those games that we're like, all right, wow, you know, and that is okay. Yeah. That's okay. That's the reality of exactly where this team is at. I will say this, though, this little mandatory mini camp, I knew last fall that those players love to play for Flus, but wow, when they were all, they love him. And it is obvious how much they respect him, the way he's handled everything. He has complete attention in that locker room. And I know the first couple of years, sometimes they'd show those post-game things in the locker room. I was like, wow, it's kind of awkward. But it's not. Like, he's so found a way to connect with these guys.
Now,
and it's
last
been
year
impressive
was nuts
to see.
With D-Walk, though. Where he's, like, on his phone. Like, he was posting something to, like, Twitter or Instagram. But then, like, it comes out 2 days later that, like, the media ran up and gave him the phone and said, you got to post something real quick.
Yeah,
or the whatever, is it? Not the media. What is it? Bears PR.
Yeah.
Or like
you
got to post something real quick. He's like, okay, like so he's doing it during the. That was the only one that I was like, that's gross. Like, come on, dog.
Yeah.
He's like, my bad. I should be looking when coaches talk.
Of course. But I know that they like him, and I think it was cool that he has different waves of guys over to the house and just. That relationship, we talk about it all the time, but when you know each other off the field and you feel like you're all on the same team off the field, that makes a difference on it. It just does.
What's your expectation coaching wise this season? Like when you look at Matt Eberflus, right? We know what we were last year. I don't care about the beard. What we were last year is what we were last year. Let's see if the beard changes things this year. What's your expectation for him taking a step this season?
I think that, wow, it's hard to say because they did lose 14 straight games on his watch, yep. Right? But I also don't think he heads into this season on any sort of hot seat at all. Mm. I think that if they start 1-5, maybe that would be something that they would discuss. But I believe at this point that he and Ryan Poles are so in lockstep with what they want this team to be that they're giving themselves that grace to kind of bring it all together. And they feel like the pieces are there now that he can find a way to make them shine. But it's not just on him. It's his entire coaching staff. Obviously, they made that change at offensive coordinator for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it hinges on Shane Waldron, more even so than Eberflus.
Yeah. That is going to be the one thing to me that is going to be exciting and scary at the same time, because you want Shane Waldron to be good because that means Caleb is good.
Yeah.
But then you instantly know you're going to lose him.
Yeah,
anybody who remotely develops a Bears quarterback has a head coaching job next season. Adam Gase got like two of them.
Of course.
Jay Cutler having a great season and a half. But what I think that is really fun about it, though, is that we see the tree that they've built off of that.
Yeah.
With Shane Waldron, there's quarterback coaches in the building. You've got the quality control guys who have all kind of been offensive coordinators or a part of the offense in their own right. I applaud the way that the Bears built up their coaching staff this year, almost how they're treating Flus, almost how they're treating Caleb, right? Maybe there are limitations with Flus, but we're going to insulate him so that we got Eric Washington helping him out as well, who's a really good defensive coordinator who's been a part of this, right? We've got the offensive side already set, very similar to how Caleb has a dearth of weapons that he can look around at and go, it's kind of hard to screw up. Keenan Allen's wide open right there.
Right. Oh, you're exactly right. And I think that the chemistry of the coaching staff is already being felt, and Flus feels it. And I think that the team, the coaches in the room. I talked to Jennifer King. She's like, when I first got here, I thought everybody was just being really nice. And now we're like 4 months in and they're still the same people. Like she's like, it's like, oh, that was genuine. And I think there's a lot of people like that they might've come in and wondered, what's this actually going to be like? And now that they're there, they're feeling something special brewing and it's touching everybody.
I got to see you do that interview in person, which is really cool. First off, y'all have no idea how the news is made, and I'm not going to like tell you the ingredients and the secret. It's impressive. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I sit down in a podcast, just start talking, right? I get on the radio, I just start talking. How y'all remember some of the stuff? How y'all be throwing the questions? It's very impressive to see in person. Like, I'm like, I don't remember what I said like 10 minutes ago.
sometimes happens to me.
I had to go to my wife and tell her, like, I was like, she always gives me three things. She'll like, do this. And then she'll come back and say, do this. I was like, okay, when you tell me do this, I got that.
Yeah. It's
number two, locked in. Here you go. Number three, number one's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know what you just told me. I have no idea what number one is 10 minutes later.
That's the one that sticks, right?
That's probably ADHD. So I commend y'all on that. But it was really cool watching you do that interview because you kind of got the inside look with Jennifer King of like, this coaching staff may not be the same as like every coaching staff in the NFL. Their vibe is different. How they're presenting it is different. The fact that they're willing to have a woman as one of the leaders on this team, that's not something you're seeing in every NFL locker room.
You're not seeing it. I mean, there's a handful of women. I mean, I think there's a dozen women on staffs. And then I think there's only three or four that are position coaches. Yeah. Some of them are like strength and conditioning and different roles that they play. But she's like, she's a pioneer and she said like, it doesn't even feel like she's the first woman. Like it doesn't even, she just fits in with this group and they've been accepting of her. And I think that says a lot about the dynamic that they're building there.
Yeah. I keep saying this and I can't explain it. When you're there, guys, it just feels different to see. And I want that to continue. When we're here now, right? It's always sunshine and roses.
Of course.
When you get to OTAs, when you're through June, now we get the 6 weeks. Heading into training camp, what are your biggest questions that you'd like to see answered?
Offensive line. That's the one thing that concerns me the most, like making sure that the center is set with, is it Ryan Bates? Is that who our center is going to be? Like making sure that's set. What is Nate Davis participating this year? What's his, how's he feeling? Is Darnell Wright going to take a step? Is Braxton Jones going to be solidified? I just feel there's a lot of questions in front of him. I feel like Tevin Jenkins has been, if he can stay healthy, will be remarkable. He'll be their best offensive lineman. But I feel like there's still questions there in front of Caleb and how that will impact how Caleb continues to play. Like, I hope there are no 9 sack games this season.
I really want to see how much power Flus has, because not to say that I question it, but right, the offseason hires weren't his.
Right.
They're Ryan Pohl's offseason hires.
Oh, of course. They're
going to get Shane. There's no connection between Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus. I wonder how much power he actually has, because Ryan Pohl's paid a guy $10 million to play right guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy basically hasn't been out there. And as a coach, I can't believe that you're just okay with that.
Right, I can't either.
I can't. So I really wonder, if we don't see him at training camp this year, is there a chance that Nate Davis is not your starting right guard? Because the one thing I will say is, with how Pohl's drafted, it'd be rushed options, but you do have options. Mm-hmm. You do have Coleman Shelton. You could throw Ryan Bates in there at right guard. If you want to go with the strongest version, we saw Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright on the right side last year. It was absolutely disgusting how they were killing guys on the right side. You could make a move there. Maybe move Karan Amageji in there early at left guard and get him some opportunity. But if we don't see Nate Davis, I keep saying I cut him all the grace in the world last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same.
I have nothing to say about last year.
That was tough.
But when he left Tennessee, and Courtney said this on the pod last week when we were at camp, Mike Vrabel basically flat out said, this dude don't practice and I don't want him.
Right. Yes.
That's a problem.
It is a problem.
If that happens and you're willing to throw him out there over guys who are practicing, that tells me that somebody above Matt Eberflus probably said, no, I paid him $10 million. He's playing.
I could not agree with you more. That is not practicing or not being present and available at all practices is not Matt Eberflus style at all. I know he has a lot of space and grace for a lot of things. That is not one of them.
And it's not like, it's so funny because he's the only player who kind of gets that leeway. And I wonder
how long
Caleb will put up with it. I wonder how long Nate Davis's teammates will put up with it, because I'm not gonna say who I was standing next to, some people who played the game, but when you're on the sideline and you hear guys go, I wish he was in our locker room, we would have killed him every single day if he was in our locker room. When you hear things like that, I can't imagine that today's players feel that much different, that, oh, you're just a starter, but you're not putting in any of the work.
Right.
That's a problem.
I agree with you. It's a problem. And he was never available for the media to talk to last year. We didn't know him at all. And to have that reputation before you even get here, he doesn't sound like the kind of guy that would fit in this room. And the vibe in the room is important and it's essential. And it was interesting to me. Remember when Jalen Johnson was saying, you know, Caleb can't bring any of that Hollywood in here. And now that we've seen Caleb, like
there's none of it.
Like, it's hilarious
as well. I love how Cole Kmet said, he's like, he spent like a year in Hollywood.
I know, like, we know that, right? Like, there, right. Like, exactly. It was interesting. Like, cause they know that they have a chemistry as a group. Yeah. And I can't imagine that they would tolerate someone not putting in the effort that everybody else is. I can't.
And with the emphasis that we've heard on the cadence, I mean, I don't know if Nate Davis has a good rapport with his starting right tackle.
Oh, I don't know either. Right.
Who was there all last mm-hmm. season, right? A completely new center. So right. The offensive line, I agree with you, is one of my biggest focuses heading into camp. And I think that ties into Caleb's development
of course.
With the cadence and all of those things. Because if you come in and you don't know how the heck I sound, you're going to screw up.
Well, right. Right. I love that Tevin gave us that example of the barking, the orders and stuff. Yeah. So like we can hear what they're practicing and how they want that all to come together. It will be fascinating to see how that all shakes out. Look, if Mercedes Lewis, 19 years in, is still coming to practice, I think Nate Davis can come to practice. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I will say this. J-Mac and Mercedes had a conversation on the sideline one day. And Mercedes is like, with training camps like this, I can practice
yeah.
for 10 more years. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, so right.
He's seen the league change a lot. So he's probably a lot more comfortable. But the other thing for me, I guess my biggest thing, how are we going to use Shane Waldron? Or how is Shane Waldron going to use this offense? That's the one thing we haven't seen. A lot of weapons.
A lot of weapons, and how he balances that out will be very interesting. But fun. But at the same time, fun, because there is so much talent there, and they are so competitive. I love the wide receiver room race to 1,000 yards. I love it. Like I think that competition just within that position is going to push. They're going to push each other.
I love it because it's and maybe this is me reading too much into it. Maybe this is media mind Pat right here. Race to 1,000 yards. In a race, everybody crosses the finish line. Everybody. So you're saying that, oh, it's who gets it first, not who gets it.
Right.
That's what I love about that, because
that's a good point.
We haven't seen many teams do that, but like I always go with offenses like this, is like the Bengals. Tyler Boyd, mm-hmm. T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase.
Loaded, yeah.
All three of them get 1,000 yards. On top of that, why can't I think of the running back who's in Texas now?
I can't think of it.
Y'all know who I'm talking about. He was very good for like a long time, and then last year he was not good. He's in Houston now. I'm looking at Eric for help.
Eric's looking at quick.
Joe Mixon. All right, there it is. Shine on me for that. Joe Mixon is still rushing for over 1,000 yards in that offense. Like, those are the things that I look at, and I'm like, can Shane Waldron find a way to replicate that? Can he figure something out? Because he didn't do it in Seattle.
No.
Where he had a lot of different weapons, but a lot of weaponry. But can you do it here? Is Caleb already ahead of Geno? Is there some correlation where they're even there? How are you going to be able to figure out that offense and keep everybody involved?
Oh, well, that is the challenge. I mean, he's got these next 5 weeks. He's seen now kind of a little bit of what he has and how it's going to all play out and the connections that they're already building. It will be interesting to see if he's able to unlock it the way that the Bears need him to unlock it week in and week out. And last year, the last couple of years, I felt like Luke Getsy would always say, we're going to set them up for success and do what each player does well. And then they'd go on the field and I'm like, you didn't do that at all, right? Like,
none of that.
So I'm hopeful that when Shane Waldron is, that he truly is capitalizing on the skills that he has, because he has so much available to him. And back to the Nate Davis thing, I was thinking about it when, you know, DJ Moore is at everything. He attends everything.
He's at more than I expected.
He's at everything. And when Eberflus says he's our like tone setter, because we need our best players to be involved, and that's who he is. And it just is such a stark contrast to me. And that's why I don't know what will happen if Nate Davis isn't able to go through training camp the way that they need him to.
That's probably the biggest storyline we have right now. We thought it was like, okay, what if Keenan Allen doesn't show up for mandatory? Is he want a contract? Does he not? Like, Keenan Allen has more reason to not show up than Nate Davis.
Yeah, correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's
my thing. Keenan Allen's coming into this season saying, listen, I'm making a lot of money, but like, I would like some long-term confidence in me here. And that may not happen here, right? You've got the compensatory pick that comes with him. There may not be a contract that he ends up signing. I believe you either get a fourth or a third back for him, depending on how he produces this season. So you may be just a, we needed a piece this year to help Roman Dunze along. That to me is more reason to be like, I'm not showing up. I'm not going to be.
And he got a new agent now. So how is that going to, I mean, Keenan Allen's got definitely more reasons to not show up. And he did. And he did. And Nate was there, not participating, but he was there. We don't really know.
We got like a half a practice between like him and I think Ryan Bates was swapping in at right guard that practice. And then we never saw him again. So I wonder if, I guess, is there an injury? Is there something? But like at a certain point, you got to be out there.
You've got to be.
And Flus is too.
I mean, they're not even, it's just shells. Like, I feel like you and I could go through practice and be okay. Like, I don't understand.
Flus is too, to me, he's too lenient. I understand you don't want people to get hurt. I do wonder, though, is he too like, hey, if you tell us you got something, like you're out.
You're out. I think maybe a little bit. Yeah. Like everything is so, we're so precautionary. Like they had Cole on a bike during mandatory minicamp for one game. It was like just being super precautionary, but.
Here's my thing, though. If you give, with certain people, if you give them the excuse, they'll take it.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder if that's what we're going to say. Oh, what's going on in practice? I got a thing.
Right. You
know, right here. It's really been working on me. I'll be ready by the game. Right. Every week. You know what I mean? So we'll see what it ends up being. It's clear that that is almost everybody in the media's focus. It's definitely a focus for Caleb Williams because we keep talking about the cadence and bringing that up. Nate's got to know the cadence.
Yeah, he's got to know. He's got to know the cadence. Yeah, for sure.
Deion, we appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having me. This is super fun.
This is fun. You got the city behind us. You know what I mean?
Right downtown.
You're so used to this, aren't you? This is your norm every day.
It is. It is the norm.
Outside of watching you every day on the news, where can people find you?
Oh, find me on all the socials. I'm embarrassingly easy to find. D Miller, ABC7. Very creative, I know. But... that's it.
I think that's the goal, right?
Yeah,
and of course, on Peggy and Deion on the weekends.
Of course. Saturdays when we're both available.
Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do for Deion Miller. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.